Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Brian Jorgensen's grandmother and grandfather settled in South Dakota in 1909. His family stuck it out during the Dirty 30s with resilience, faith, and a large family among their assets. Martin Jr. took over the operation when he was just 19. His two brothers served in World War II. Unfortunately, only one came home. It's a four-generation operation with the fifth generation on the ground doing what needs to be done for the future. Brian Jorgensen was listed in Successful Farming magazine on the 10 Successful Farmers list this year. He is a winner of the Leopold Award. He joins us now from Winter, South Dakota. Brian, welcome back to the program.
Oh, well, thank you. Good afternoon.
Did we get all your family history right there? The small snippet that is part of your remarkable family history.
That was a fabulous snapshot. You did great.
All right. So you have grown up with the stories of overcoming hardships and drought, and this year has been a tough year. We talked to you back in July when it was a very important week for the corn crop, and now we're checking in with you again. And I'm wondering, where do you want to begin? What has this 2017 growing season looked like for your family?
2017 has been a remarkable year in that, it started out fairly normal in the spring. The planting conditions were really good. And then June came along quite cool and dry. In fact, very cool. There was a couple times in June that it actually almost froze, which is pretty unusual. And then July came along, and it was extraordinarily hot and dry. So we've had all kinds of extremes. Up and down. August then came, and we had close to 10 inches of rain in August. So you talk about ranges of extremes, we've had them all. And quite frankly, the crop is almost a normal crop, not quite. The corn, we haven't done much corn yet, but most of our other crops are nearly out or are completed. The soybeans, I would say, are actually pretty good, above average. The Milo crop was about average. Our forage crops were above average. Wheat crop, the earlier crops, were probably below average. But all in all, for having less than 19 inches of rain this year, we've got remarkably good yields. And on our pasture side, our pastures look phenomenal. But I attribute that mainly to the management practices that we've implemented over the last couple of years in terms of doing a lot more intensive grazing management and getting those cows moved more often. And it has paid big, big dividends in terms of our pasture and prairie health and its overall carrying capacity. So it's been a very interesting year.
We talked a little bit in July about, some farmers' hesitation to use cover crops to their fullest potential because of how they felt they might, be impacted by a drought. How did this year sort of fit in to that practice of yours?
Well, we have been consistently cover cropping now for over 8 years. Not every year is successful. This was one of those years that we did not see any detrimental effect from the previous year's cover crop. That is the cover crop that was planted in 2016, and we planted corn on those acres this year. We did not see, or we have not seen as of yet, any detrimental effects from those. In fact, I think we're going to see positive effects, even though we were extraordinarily dry. The cover crop planted this year on the wheat stubble in 2017 looks phenomenal, and we actually have quite a few head of cattle out on those acres now. I have to say that I think that, in my opinion, year after year, the cover crop is only going to be beneficial to us. There may be some rare occasions where it may be detrimental in terms of overall excessive moisture use, but the increased soil health, I think, will offset many of those bad attributes.
Your family has been using no-till farming since the 1980s as well. How much does year after year of one of these practices really build on the success of a farm?
It's very important, and it's one of those things that, like anything, the more you do it consistently, I think the more it improves. And so we have some of our fields in our operation that have been no-till consistently since the mid-1980s. We were full 100% no-till on all of our acres in 1991. And we continue to see an ever-increasing amount of organic matter that continues to build. And that really is important to note. It drives the entire living biological system in the soil. The higher the organic matter that you retain in the soil, the more fuel you have to build the biological community, which drives everything. So long-term no-till and the use of cover crops are going to do just that.
In a year like this where it is so remarkable and there's such variation, does it become difficult to think long-term, or have you pretty much got that part down now because of how long you've been doing this, where it's not just this year, it's every year that you have to think about?
That's a very difficult thing for people to do. Mother Nature has taught us to do that out in this part of the world because of need. The no-till systems really were implemented 30 years ago or 25 years ago to save moisture, because we are a moisture deficit area. But overall, it's very hard for producers to think about the long-term effects of their cultural activities. You know, for many, many years, tillage was a very important part of our cultural system. And now we're finally learning, many folks are finally learning that there are detrimental effects from doing those activities. But it's still difficult because of the culture that we're in. And so in order for us to survive in a no-till system, it's very important that we're A, diverse in many different crops, and B, that we have livestock in the system that help us utilize all those different diverse crops that we grow. In many parts of the country, that's not the case. And so those are things that I think people are going to have to adjust to, or at least learn how to and implement those newer practices so that we can improve the soil health.
Brian Jorgensen was listed in Successful Farming magazine as one of the 10 successful farmers this year. He's a winner of the Leopold Award. And Brian, we're going to put your conversation from July up on my blog here after the program. That's at sdpb.org/margin, so folks can listen to that as well. Let's just finish here the last 30 seconds with the hunting season, the pheasant opener. How does that play into your weekend?
Well, again, our philosophy is to utilize our resource, and our greatest resource we have is our soil and land resource. And our goal is to try and get not only a crop produced, but also implementation of livestock. And thirdly, if we can implement some type of recreational activity on that, and that's the hunting enterprise, because we've already got the crops, the residues there, the diversity to host the wildlife. So it's really, it behooves us to add that third dimension in there to get the most out of our resource and still not hurt the resource.
Brian Jorgensen, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it once again.
Thank you for the opportunity.